720 WGN. It's 8:31. Mark Carmen, Kevin Powell with you till 10 o'clock tonight. Rick Tellender going to join the program at 9:30. Paul Sullivan, your Chicago Tribune, joining us now. Sully, thank you for taking time, sir. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm in my car, so I hope it doesn't sound too bad here.
No, you sound like you're a 7 out of 10, but with your talent, okay. 7 is fine. It's no problem. Sully,
I live in my car now, so you know that's just kind of the way it goes.
Hey, one of my favorite things to do is the car nap, which is an underrated thing that people don't do enough, in my humble opinion. Sully, what do you know about bringing baseball back? What's your assessment of what's happening right now?
My assessment is that they better hurry up and come up with a plan because you know, spring training, if they're even starting it up again, is going to take a month, and then the season's kind of wasting away. So obviously, the only alternative is to have games not with fans in the stadium. So I think that's pretty much a certainty at this point. So it's just a matter of whether you play in your home parks or whether they go down to Arizona or Florida or one of those places.
Well, what did you make, Sully, of the report on the three-division system? There was talks that, for me, I was reading through it. I'm like, one, this looks doable, and two, it'd be pretty cool to see the Cubs and Sox play each other about 10 times a year. But if anybody missed it, it was splitting the entire 30 teams into three divisions, basically scrapping American and National Leagues. Teams play in their
crazy
own ballparks.
I love it.
But you
way
play in a, you know, you strict it to Midwest, East Coast, West Coast. Paul Sullivan, your thoughts on that? Feasible?
I think that is probably the most feasible one I've heard so far. I've also heard, maybe keep the divisions the same, you know, like NL Central, AL Central, and just do, kind of like interleague play with NL Central, AL Central, NL East, AL East, something like that. But, if you're going to try and cut down on travel, that's basically the only way they're going to be able to do it. And I don't see any other alternative at this point.
It is super dicey. Paul Sullivan with us here on 720 WGN. When I say dicey, that word, will there or will there not be a baseball season? Hey, Sully, ESPN apparently is coming up with the Sosa and McGuire doc. You were there day in and day out, 1998, covering the Cubs. Right, you were at the Cubs at that point, were you not? I remember you there. I feel like I have that right.
Yeah, I was the Cubs beat writer in 98, yeah.
So what do you hope that they focus on? If the producers were coming to you, Sully, what should we do? What would you tell them?
Well, they did interview me. That doesn't mean that I'll be in it because I've heard a bunch of people interviewed for the Jordan thing that I haven't seen yet, so... But I think they're going to cover everything. I mean, you really can't do Sosa McGuire and ignore the whole PED issue. So I think they'll cover that. Whether Sammy comes clean, I doubt it. But I would imagine, if you just take away the PED part of it, I mean, it really was a very interesting season. The whole thing, the way it went back and forth, and Sammy deferring to McGuire the whole time, talking about, Mark's the man, Mark's the man. So I think it's going to be interesting to go back and look at it. Sammy has talked before. He did a thing for, I think, NBC Sports Chicago a couple years ago, and he didn't really add too much about it. But, we'll get to see him, and, we'll get to go over the whole thing about him leaving the Cubs in a snit at the end of 04. And, I think it'll be interesting. I don't know if it'll be as revealing as the Jordan thing, but it'll be fun.
I don't know if favorite's the best way to put it, but a memorable Sammy Sosa moment from your days recovering him? Anything you got for us, Sully?
Wow, there's just so many.
Corked bat.
I'm talking about behind the scenes. I'm sure Sully's got a ton of stories from the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I have my own, boombox. That was always something, players hating the boombox. and eventually destroying it. I guess, you know, going back to 98, one of my favorite moments was that he was just doing TV for a while, and he was such a big name, getting to be so big. And I cornered him once and said, you know, Sammy, those TV people, they're not voting for the MVP award. So every time you blow us off and go talk to TV, you're kind of hurting yourself for the if you want to win the MVP. And he's like, oh, okay. So he said, could you get the writers? And I said, yeah, hold on. And he talked to all the writers that day. And then after that, he did like two separate media sessions, one with TV and one with the writers, and I think it was you know, good for his image back then. You know, obviously he blew it, but at the time, McGuire was such a jerk that year, and you know, was just so grouchy. And Sammy, in contrast to McGuire, just looked like, yeah, having fun, and you know, God bless America, all that stuff. So I thought he came out looking pretty good that year.
So I remember that was my first year in baseball clubhouses, and I had a cup of coffee, I guess, in 97 too. But regardless, when you went in the Cardinals clubhouse, in McGuire's locker, there were the pills that he was taking. There was like, it was right in front of you. Do you remember that? I am remembering that correctly, right?
Yeah, and somebody, I think from AP, or I can't remember who it was, narked on him and wrote about it, and that's what caused all the controversy. But, you know, back then, everyone was doing creatine right out in front of us, and creatine was kind of a, you know, just kind of a milkshake kind of deal. So everybody seemed to be doing something. So it was, oh, here we go.
Cops are coming after you, Sully.
Yeah, you know, it was only a matter of time.
It's okay. This is COVID-19 radio. We're good.
I think I shook him off here, so I think I'm safe.
I'm being texted that it was Steve Wilstein of the AP who broke the McGuire story. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah. And then, then Sammy did the Flintstones and just kind of in McGuire's face, and that got a lot of laughs at the time. And so, it was interesting, a lot of interesting stuff to write about, that's for sure.
I just want to underline that for people that don't know. Sammy at the time was saying that, no, I don't take any of that, I take Flintstone vitamins, which was just an incredible line.
What's, because you look back on it.
It was funny. That's it was funny. At the time.
Among the reporters, what was the talk during that year and just that whole era where people knew what was going on, but it wasn't really completely frowned upon and it was maybe viewed differently, and now we all look back on it and, you know, those guys aren't getting into the Hall of Fame. What was the talk like in the press box and with other reporters? Like, did you guys all, was everyone like, this, something strange is going on?
Well, yeah. I mean, when all these guys are all of a sudden hitting 60 home runs, and Griffey was involved in it too, as you recall, until the very end, until September, he was in the middle of it. But, you know, Griffey obviously, no one ever fingered him or said that he was dirty. So, the players back then weren't really trying to hide that they were doing all these protein stuff and working out all the time. So it was really hard to say, you know, what kind of vitamins they were doing, or, you know, they were all doing something. So you really didn't know if it was steroids or if it was, something that was a legal supplement that, you know, you could get behind the counter. So, everyone's like now is like, oh, yeah, well, how come you didn't say anything then? But what proof did we have? We didn't really have any proof. It's just basically the eye test.
And for the record, I believe Sammy Sosa when he said he was taking Flintstone vitamins. I really did. I didn't think he was doing anything. Okay, he takes, you know, like he was drinking orange juice. I did not think that something was amiss. Maybe when, I don't know, Bonds got to 73. I woke up, even though that's ridiculous because McGuire hit 70 home runs.
Go back but and watch some of those home run derbies from that era. The Sammy Sosa one where he's launching 550-foot bombs.
Like it's,
yeah, I mean, he's hitting 600-foot homers and off the back wall at Miller Park.
And Sully, I'm sure you remember it too. McGuire would take BP at Wrigley and he'd be breaking windows across the street. I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah. When McGuire took batting practice at Wrigley, people actually, hitting coaches, players, pulled out chairs from the clubhouse and sat and watched it. It was so fun to watch. And, you know, I watched it too. Everyone watched, like seeing someone like hit a ball on the roof of Glen Allen Hill, stuff like that. I mean, look at the home run derby now. No one says anything about Aaron Judge or guys like that. They hit the ball 600 feet, so... I think the transformation for Sammy was just so different. You know, McGuire was always a pretty big guy, but Sammy was, you know, he came up, he was a base stealer, basically, a skinny outfielder, and same with, you know, Barry Bonds. So I think that's what really changed things.
You can tell me that this is too personal a question, but do you vote for Sammy on the Hall of Fame vote?
Oh, no, I don't vote for him. I write that every year. I don't vote for Clemens, Bonds, Sammy. I mean, there's guys in now that I didn't vote for that I thought had done it. And, you know, I don't think I need to name names. You could probably figure it out.
I got it.
In the last years.
But so, that's a great answer. And my thing is, like, look, if you're voting for Barry, you need to be voting for Sammy, too, in my mind. Like, for some reason, Sosa is looked out there like his numbers, but before he was taking it, that were not Hall of Fame worthy, and yet when he did, they became that. But, okay, fine. Maybe that's, I guess, remotely true or more remotely true. But the guy hit 60 homers three times. If you're voting for Bonds, you have to vote for Sosa, in my mind.
Yeah, but... The argument there was that Bonds was such a great player before he did the steroid.
There it is.
And I think I might have won MVP with Pittsburgh. He won a few of them. And Sammy was like a nobody basically until he supposedly did them. So I can see that argument. I mean, it's hard to vote against him if you think it's okay for steroid guys to get in. I mean, he did hit 600 and something home runs, so. I mean, it's still pretty hard to do, but, you know, everyone has a reason for doing what they do. I know a lot of people that once Bud Selig got in, they said, well, hey, you know, this guy condoned it, so if he's going to get in, why can't I vote for steroid guys? So, you know, that you can argue any way you want, and I don't, you know, anyone that has their opinion, it doesn't bother me. I'm just not going to change mine.
Fair enough. Sully, who's being hurt more on your way out here, the Cubs or the Sox by no baseball right now? Because you could make an argument that the White Sox are not going to develop their players, whether they be winning or not, and maybe from a Cubs standpoint, then you got the Chris Bryant part of it, right? Where that clock is ticking and you're not playing. This is not good for anybody right now. But
it's not good for anybody. But yeah, you're right. The White Sox. I mean, we really needed to see these kids develop. Luis Robert. But I do think that if there's like an 80-game season, it might help them because, you know, everyone will be more or less on an even playing field for 80 games. We've seen teams, you know, have great starts, great first halves, and then they kind of tail off in the second half. So now you'd only basically have to have one good half, and that's very doable for the White Sox, even, you know, with as young a team as they'll probably have.
Kopech pitches on day five. Let's go.
Yeah, Kopech, that's what I want to see. I want to see Kopech on the team now. There's no excuse now that, you know, we got to wait and get his arm ready. His arm should be okay by now, so no excuses for that.
Yeah. Paul Sullivan, your Chicago Tribune. Sully, we appreciate you. Thanks for being on.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sully.
Always our pleasure.